RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, read by Lalu Vikrantsingkan. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo receives KPPU to discuss food cartel eradication. Australian investor interested in Indonesian electricity sector. Indonesian short movies and live in French cinema festival. Listener, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Business Competition Supervisory Commission or KPPU on Friday to discuss a way to eradicate food cartel. Chief of KPPU Muhammad Syarkawi Rauf told the press after a meeting with the president at the presidential palace compounds that KPPU is ready to guard any effort to combat against food cartel. He said one of the issues discussed at the meeting was meat cartel whose prices were soaring ahead of Idul Adha or Day of Sacrifice this year. He said 32 feedlotters were believed to have been involved in conspiracy to halt meat supplies from feedlotters to slaughterhouses. He also pointed out that during an impromptu inspection at slaughterhouses, his site found that 1 week before Idul Fitri, they still slaughtered 30 cows per day. But 1 month later, the number of cows slaughtered continued to fall to only 8 per day. The finding, he said, served as the basis for the KPPU to probe the alleged meat cartel. Head of Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, has said recently that investors from Australia are exploring investment in the electricity sector. Through the meetings held by representatives of BKPM in Sydney, Australia, there are three companies exploring their interest in investing in Indonesia. Frankie said Indonesian Investment Promotion Center, or IIPC Sydney, succeeded in identifying investors that are interested in investing in the field of electricity, especially in renewable energy. He affirmed that electricity is one of the main components of infrastructure to support the production process in several priority sectors, such as downstream industries, labor-intensive industry, export-oriented industries, and import substitution. Meanwhile, Deputy of Investment Promotion, Hima Haryoga, stated that BKPM had delivered several breakthroughs of government's policies, including 3-hour investment services license, accelerated procedures of tax holiday and tax allowance. In addition, BKPM also held a private meeting with the three companies interested to invest in electricity sector. Three investors come from 2 states in Australia, namely Tasmania and New South Wales. A total of 8 short movies made by Indonesian young filmmakers and live in French cinema festival in 2015. The movies became opening movies at the festival that was held for the 20 times one of the judge competition of French Cinema Short Movies Festival 2015, Dimas Jayastrana said at French Cultural Center, IFI Jakarta, that these short movies will be on special screening program during the festival, screened as the opening movies before the French movies. Dimas, who is also vice manager in Indonesia, said the 8 short movies were selected from total of 183 short movies received by IFI in competition in French Cinema Short Movies Festival 2015. The 8 short movies were titled Beat and Run by Gugun Ekalaya, The Devil Street by Salman Farizi, Faith by Sinung Winahyoko, Return to Sender by Vera Lestafa, Sandekala by Amri Ramadan, Symbiosis by Tanjaya Wiranata, Sleep Tight Maria by Monica Vanessa Teja, and The Taste of Vinces by Sinung Winahyoko. In its 4 year, the competition has increased quite dramatically in short movie submission compared to 3 years earlier. Listeners, this news come to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The awarding of National Hero title for second former president of Indonesia, Suharto, is waiting for presidential decree. Minister of Social Khofifa Indar Parawansa affirmed that the nomination of National Hero title for Suharto will be given in the right time. She pointed out that Central Title Research and Assessment Team, or TP2GP, has submitted results of studies on Suharto and also Abdurrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur, to the Council of Title. She also stated that there was no more discussion in the Council of Title related to the assessment. This year, Minister Khofifa added the title of National Hero was given to 5 prominent figures. They were Muhammad Yasin and Mas Isman from East Java, Ki Bagus Hadikusumo from Yogyakarta, I Gusti Ngurah Made Agung from Bali, and Bernard Wilhelm Lapian from North Sulawesi. By 5 additional names, Indonesia was now 168 national heroes. They become from various regions in Indonesia, from Aceh to Papua. West Jakarta District Court has sentenced Wong Chi Ping, a.k.a. Surya Wijaya, from Hong Kong to death for possessing more than 800 kilograms of crystal methamphetamine, or called locally sabu-sabu. Chief Judge M. Arifin read the verdict during a trial held at the West Jakarta District Court in Jakarta on Friday, saying that Wong Chi Ping was proven guilty of committing a serious crime, having been found in possession of shabu-shabu. Arifin stated, the defendant has committed an extraordinary crime because the illicit drugs could poison the younger Indonesian generation and threaten the survival of the Indonesian nations. Besides, Wong Chi Ping had also planned to receive shabu-shabu from someone identified by as Ah Yi from China, but the ship crying, the cargo sank. Ah Yi is now a fugitive. Wong Chi Ping has smuggled shabu-shabu from the Philippines by ship with the assistance of 8 people identified as Ahmad Salim Wijaya, Sujardi, Sharifuddin Nurdin, Tam Siu Leung, Siu Cheng Fuk, Tan Siting, Cheng Hon Ming, and Andika. Rupiah traded among banks in Jakarta on Friday morning was moving down by 47 points to 13,644 rupiah compared to the previous position at 13,597 rupiah per US dollar. Samuel Securitas economist Rangga Cipta said in Jakarta on Friday that rupiah exchange rate remained relatively stable. Market participants are waiting for the data of current account deficit of Indonesia, which are estimated to 1.7% of gross domestic product or GDP. Rangga remarked that it was likely to be a positive sentiment toward the currency and to increase the change of Bank Indonesia rates to be cut. The sentiment for the rupiah was likely to move higher. Meanwhile, he added, the sentiment of the jobless claims data that are still high and the U.S. government budget deficit that widened could put a halt to the U.S. dollar. Industrial production figures in the euro, which improved, would also help strengthen the euro against the U.S. dollar. Head of Research of NH Corindo Securities Indonesia, Reza Priyambada, stated that although the rate of the U.S. dollar increased against world currencies, including the rupiah, it still tended to be limited. He added, the government's inflation target in 2015 is under 4%. The last item, Indonesian women's weightlifter Sri Hartati won gold medal at the 2015 World Weightlifting Championship in Luxembourg by lifting total of 5,037.5 kg weight. Sri's compatriot Noviana Sari, who competed in women's 63 kg category, also contributed one bronze medal at the events. Data from the Indonesian Weightlifting Federation or PBPAPC details types of lift Sri had successfully performed, including 210 kg squat lifting, 135 kg bench press, and 192 kg deadlift. PBPAPC chairman Rosan P. Ruslani praised Sri's achievement. He believes that it would motivate other Indonesian athletes who will compete in the upcoming World Championship in Houston, United States. Listener, that was the news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in the week press reviews compiled from some newspapers published in the capital, Jakarta. Let's start from Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday writes, "Work hard to realize opportunities." Although the national economy has shown some signs of improvements, Bank Indonesia (BI) will maintain its benchmark interest rate at 7.5%. It shows growing optimism, but a number of factors at home and abroad are still overshadowing economic growth in Indonesia. Central Statistics Agency data shows in the third quarter of 2015, the economy grew 4.73%, up from 4.67% in the second quarter. Another supporting factor, according to the target inflation rate of Bank Indonesia, is 3 to 5%. Bank Indonesia predicts growth in 2015 is 4.7% to 5.1%. Macroeconomic indicators that make room for Bank Indonesia to cut interest rates to lending rates. However, BI Governor Agus Martowardoyo chose to be careful in maintaining the stability of the exchange rate and inflation. According to Kompas, BI is secured by the law to work independently, but the pace remains to be in line with the government's and vice versa. The government has responded to the economic slowdown through 6 deregulation packages after, by the end of 2014, removing fuel subsidies to provide fiscal space for development. There is hope, but it needs hard work, consistent policy from the center to the regions. Over now to Republika Daily, which in its editorial on Thursday writes about rice production and imports. In the past 2 weeks, imported rice has entered several ports in Indonesia. The imported rice came from Vietnam, will be used by the government as a backup to keep rice prices stable. Rice imports conducted by the government after the Central Bureau of Statistics forecasted that state's paddy production this year will increase. Then this has raised some questions. Republika writes, the government should not import rice because rice production in the country is estimated to increase. Meanwhile, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the imported rice will be used to keep food reserves in line with the depletion of the government's rice stock at the moment. According to Republika, for the people, it really doesn't matter if there are differences in the data. What they want is there is rice supply in the market and at affordable prices. Republika writes, if rice prices rise significantly, then poor people's spending will increase and this will disturb them financially. They also don't question the origin of the rice they purchase, whether of imports or domestic production. For them, the main thing is the price of rice remains stable. The last is from Media Indonesia Daily, which in its editorial on Monday writes, "Rejoice in welcoming the rain." The Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency has predicted rain would start pouring in Indonesia in November and December. As in previous years, the rainy season usually continues until January or February. This time, the arrival of the rainy season is eagerly awaited. That is partly due to the fact rain is expected to be the ultimate instrument to extinguish forest and land fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan, which has lasted nearly 4 months. More than just overcoming the land and forest fires, rainwater is also the source of life. But according to Media Indonesia, the arrival of the rainy season could also be disastrous. Rains often cause flooding and landslides that often cause fatalities. To avoid the rain turn into a disaster, what needs to be done in the near future is disaster mitigation to identify areas prone to flooding and landslides as well as preparing the evacuation process. According to Media Indonesia, if the government conducts disaster mitigation, implements policies to absorb rainwater into the earth and enforce the law on those who cause forest fires, people will welcome the rainy season with joy. On the other hand, people will welcome the rainy season with deep sorrow if the state does not do those all. Well, that was the week press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasi.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Yubi, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on November 14, 1918, when Czechoslovakia became Czechs. Czechoslovakia proclaimed its independence on October 28, 1918. The country was made up of ethnic Czech and Slovakia, which was in the 9th century never formed an empire together. Along with the collapse of this empire, ethnic Czech and Slovakia were under the authority of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. At the end of World War I, the Austro-Hungarian Empire was defeated and fragmented territory. Czech and Slovak nation then established a joint state in 1918. In World War II, Czechoslovakia fell into German hands. Germany made this country together with Poland as a puppet state to keep its weapons in its effort to defeat Russia. After the end of World War II, Czechoslovakia became a free country under the influence of Russia in his administration. However, after the Cold War ended, namely on November 14, 1918, Czechoslovakia changed the government into a republic. The next event was in 1922 when the British Broadcasting Company broadcast its first radio bulletin. The British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, is the public service broadcaster of the United Kingdom. The next event. The British Broadcasting Company broadcast its first radio bulletin from radio station 2LO on 14 November 1922. Wishing to avoid competition, newspapers publishers persuaded the government to ban the BBC from broadcasting news before 7 p.m. and to force it to use wire service copy instead of reporting on its own. On Easter weekend in 1930, this reliance on newspaper wire services left the radio news service with no information to report. Piano music was played instead. The BBC gradually gained the right to edit the copy and, in 1934, created its own news operation. However, it could not broadcast news before 6 p.m. until World War II. Government British and Movietone cinema newsreels had been broadcast on the TV service since 1936, with the BBC producing its own equivalent television newsreel program from January 1948. A weekly children's newsreel was inaugurated on 23 April 1950 to around 350,000 receivers. The network began simulcasting its radio news on television in 1946 with a still picture of Big Ben. Televised bulletin began on 5 July 1954, broadcast from Leeds studios within Alexandra Palace in London. And the last event was in 1991, when World Diabetes Day was introduced. World Diabetes Day is the primary global awareness campaign of the diabetes world and is held on November 14 each year. It was introduced in 1991 by the International Diabetes Federation and the World Health Organization in response to the alarming rise of diabetes around the world. World Diabetes Day is a campaign that features a new theme chosen by the International Diabetes Federation each year to address issues facing the global diabetes community. While the campaigns last the whole year, the day itself marked the birthday of Frederick Banting, who, along with Charles Best and John James Richard Mackler, first conceived the idea which led to the discovery of insulin in 1922. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. And today's focus is on Indonesia opens foreign investment in fish processing. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries has continued to increase foreign investment in the field of marine and fisheries in Indonesia. Among others, through the Indonesian Fisheries Investment Forum 2015, held in Jakarta on November 11. It was attended by 10 representatives or ambassadors of the United States, France, Portugal, Germany, Norway, Spain, United Kingdom, Denmark, Australia, and Japan. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti at the forum said that the Indonesian government promised to roll out a number of incentives for the processing industry in the country. According to Minister Susi Pujiastuti, by giving incentive, the government expects fish processing business will grow and absorb the catch at reasonable prices. Among the proposed incentives for fish processing industry is the elimination of import duties for capital goods fish processing. Meanwhile, head of the Legal Aid of Investment Coordinating Board, Riyatno, said opening foreign investment for fish in processing is in accordance with the policy of the ministry and institution. Additionally, the Investment Coordinating Board also has banned foreign investment in catching fishery business. Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is targeting investment in the marine and fisheries for 2016-2019 to reach 95 trillion rupiahs. The opportunity for foreign investment in the fish processing industry is stipulated at the Ministry Regulation No. 17 of 2015. Related to the objection of some local entrepreneurs with the decree, Minister Susi Pujiastuti reiterated that the government is inviting and challenging local entrepreneurs to immediately compete and prove the business plan in the next 5 years. Don't let the fishermen catch a lot but cannot be processed, he said. Well, that was Focus today on Indonesia opens foreign investment in fish processing. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news headlines. Here are some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, Saturday, November the 14th, 2015. First is Kompas Daily. Its headlines read, "Comments to leave gold mine ignored." Gold mining activities in Gunung Botak gold mine in Buru Island, Maluku until Friday are still going on. Most miners still remain in the mining area despite the government's threat backed by the National Army and Police of the Republic of Indonesia to crack down on the stubborn miners. According to the agreement with the stakeholders there, today the military and police officers are conducting searches as well as law enforcement on miners who are still fighting. Over now to Republika Daily, which headlines read, "Rice cartel is targeted." President Joko Widodo instructed the Supervision of Business Competition Commission to monitor the behavior of the rice cartel. The instruction coincided with the entry of imported rice from Vietnam and Thailand in the middle of surplus of rice production in a number of areas. According to the chairman of the commission, Sharkawi Muhammad Rauf, the meeting with the president yesterday discussed food cartels as a whole. Nevertheless, rice cartel became the main focus. Sharkawi asserted the commission indicated rice cartel practices in a number of areas do exist. The last is the headline of Media Indonesia, which read, "There is a cartel in the rice barn." The high price of rice at almost throughout the entire region in the country had made the government's imported rice from Vietnam and Thailand. And starting in the mid of this month, gradually 1 million tons of imported rice entered into a number of areas with the intention so that the price of medium rice, which is now more than 10,000 rupiah per kilogram, could be normal like in the beginning of the year, which was 9,000 rupiah per kilogram. However, based on observation of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, the high price of rice is not because the stock is not sufficient, but due to the rice cartel practices. So yesterday, the commission also reported these findings to President Joko Widodo. That was newspaper headlines of RRI World Service in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received Business Competition Supervisory Commission or KPPU on Friday to discuss a way to eradicate food cartel. Head of Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM Frankie Sibarani has said recently that investors from Australia are exploring investment in the electricity sector. A total of 8 short movies made by Indonesian young filmmakers and Levant French Cinema Festival in 2015. The awarding of National Hero title for second former President of Indonesia, Suharto, is waiting for presidential decree. West Jakarta District Court has sentenced Wong Chi Ping, a.k.a. Surya Wijaya, from Hong Kong to the death for possessing more than 800 kilograms of crystal methamphetamine, or called locally shabu-shabu. Rupiah traded among banks in Jakarta on Friday morning was moving down by 47 points to 13,644 rupiah compared to the previous position at 13,597 rupiah per US dollar. Indonesian women's weightlifter Sri Hartati won gold medal at the 2000 weightlifting championship in Luxembourg by lifting total of 537.5 kilogram weight. And listener, that was news in brief over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Lalu Fikanshinkan. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tune to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Chungka Dance of Chia Chia Tribe in Southeast Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listener, Buton is one of islands in Southeast Sulawesi province. Buton is known as an asphalt producer island. Various tribes live on the islands. One of them is Chia Chia Tribe. Chia Chia Tribe is a minority tribe with population around 80,000 people. Most of them grow corn, rice, and cassava, catch fish, and make boats. 95% of the population are Muslims. This tribe is unique because they use Korean alphabet or Hangul to write and read. Because of that, no wonder Many names of the places are written in Korean language. Chia Chia tribe uses Hangul Korean alphabet to write its local language. Earlier, Chia Chia tribe used Hangul alphabet to preserve its regional language. There are many Chia Chia words that can be written in Malay alphabet. When written in Arabic, some words will have different meanings. To prevent this local language from extinction, the Korean alphabet is used in writing. The Korean alphabet in Chia Chia tribe was developed in 2008 by a Korean native, Professor Chun Hyun Tae. He came to the islands of Bhutan to conduct a research on the diversity of languages and customs in the former Sultanate of Bhutan. He chose Chia Chia tribe because this region has not had its own alphabet and because the Chia Chia language has similar pronunciation and grammar with Korean. Besides maintaining its local language by using Hangul alphabet, Chia Chia local people continuously maintain its arts and culture. One of them is Chungka dance. This dance has been around since before the coming of religions in Wabula village. One of the villages is home for Chia Chia tribe. This dance also has its own meaning. Chungka dance was brought by a man who first set foot on the land of Wabula village. At the time, the people of Chia Chia tribe did not have any religions. Now, this dance is played during the wedding ceremony. Listener, before Chungka dance is performed, the dancers sing Waironi, a traditional song without being accompanied by dance and drum. Then, Chungka dance is performed by a man than by a woman. In a traditional wedding ceremony, after singing regional song, the male dancer performs Chungka dance. This dance is accompanied by traditional musical instruments such as a big and small gong and drum. In the dance session, Parabela, or indigenous leader who is a man, dance Chungka dance. This part of dance has a meaning about the birth of human starting from the journey of the human spirit into a lump of water. After being danced by male dancers, Chungka dance is performed by a woman or wife of Parabela and another traditional figure. Chungka dance, which is danced by a woman, has a meaning that human journey starts from uterus, namely from water to become blood clot. In the wedding ceremony of the local people, after Chungka dance, then Ngibi dance is danced. This dance is performed by couples by using shawls. This dance has happiness meaning because from blood clot it becomes meat and bones. This dance is closed by two brides together with families. The second dance describes the process of human beings as a whole. Because it has a very high significance, this dance will be danced by the brides and groom. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Chungka dance from Southeast Sulawesi. We'll meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle.
Today's edition will be discussing the endangered blood or red frog of Gede Pangrango Mountains in West Java. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesian forests are the habitat of many protected and endangered status animals. Mount Salak, Mount Gede, and Mount Pangrango are three mountains which are located at 2,000 meters above sea levels, an altitude that is suitable as a residence of blood frog. The name blood frog or red frog is taken from its color, which is blood red. Nonetheless, the blood red color is not evenly distributed throughout the body, but only like patches. This type of frog usually is found in water areas with slower currents, as well as in small streams in the mountains and border areas between the humid lowland and mountain forests. Blood frogs exist in a large number in 1976, but in 1987 it began to decline. The drastically reduced red frog population has made IUCN Red List and turned it into endangered species at a critical level. Indeed, the existence of red frog in Indonesia has not drawn much attention. Therefore, information about it is still lacking. Blood frog or red frog is one of the endemic animals of Indonesia. It means that it exists only in Indonesia. Now, blood frog has become iconic tourist attraction around Cisurian Waterfall, Ipukan Block in Palutungan, Cigugur, Kuningan District. Head of Cigugur Resort, Mount Ciremai National Park, Idin, said to preserve the red or blood frog, the park management will tighten the security in the region. In addition to Mount Ciremai National Park, the red or blood frog can also be found in Mount Gede Pangrango and Mount Halimun Salak National Parks. Currently, the number of blood frog is unknown. The frog, which has smaller body than frogs in general, surely must be protected and preserved. Well, that was Mr. Lenny today, which informed you about the endangered blood frog of Mount Gede Pangrango. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Mr. Lenny on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRR Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to group band from Bali, Nimpea. Nimpea band, which was formed on January 4, 2005, is a band from Bali, Indonesia. According to some of music analysts, Nimpea is a band that has a female vocalist with a strong and energetic character, wrapped with rock music. Their music is influenced by many rock musicians or bands such as Sugar Cult, Avi, Nirvana, Bjork, Hold Foo Fighters, Dream Theater, Rancid, Social Dissertation, Jewel, No Doubt, and many others. Because of many variations of the effect of this rock-based music, Nimpea finally formed into a band that carries alternative rock genre. Fear listeners, here is the first song from Nimpea entitled Fearless, Then Reality. Mm-hmm.
Having undergone several personal changes, now Nimpia's personnel are Sari vocalist, Sogol guitarist, Sodik bassist, and Gus drummer. Nimpia name comes from the word Nim from UK, which means angel, and it is added with the letter E and A to make it easy to pronounce. In the middle of 2005, Nimpia released 500 pieces of mini album and distributed them for free to friends, fans, local media, music analysts, and many event organizers. However, when Sari continued her studies in Australia, she brought a mini album of Nimpia and sold them $5 hand by hand, and it was sold 100 copies of CDs. A week after distributing the mini albums, Nimpia already started receiving invitation of their first stage to perform at an event. Through various events, they had strong support from the fans, friends, media, and music analysts. Because of that, in August 2008, Nimpia released the first album entitled Malaikatmu or Your Angel. VOA listeners, this is Malaikatmu by Nimpia. listeners, you are still in Music Corner of Voice of Indonesia. That was Malaikatmu or Your Angel by Nimpia Band. Listeners, the band started to be serious in music event, though at first the band was firstly formed just to release their passion in music. The band also experienced bad time when they had to change their personnel several times. In 2012, Nimpia released another mini-album entitled EP #2.7, which contains 4 songs and 1 video clip. The mini-album was exclusively released only 27 CDs, not for sale. All are distributed for free in a small and family event held by Nimpia on September 13, 2012, in a bar in Kuta, Bali. Since the beginning of July 2013, all of the songs in the mini-album have been able to be downloaded free of charge at the website Nimpia, www.nimpiabali.com. For our listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Aku Akan Bahagia or I'll Be Happy and Lelah Berdiri or Tired of Standing. Thank you for your listening and sampai jumpa.
Sudah cukup ku terima kepalsuan dari dirimu. Menyingkirlah I'm not
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.